That thing just does not have an authoritative ring to it, you know. We're going to call the Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today is the third day of May, 2005. It's now 1:41 p.m., and we'd like to show that Senator Ben Stevens is here, Senator Davis is here, and myself, Senator Ralph Seekins. Senator Huggins is just next door and available when we need him, and we're going to start today, excuse me, in this order. We're going to do 123, 169, 120, 213, and 181. And Senator Davis has a motion to pass all these out of committee at this particular time without objection, right?
That's
Senator
right.
Davis. But, so let's start out with 123. Thank you, Ben. And good afternoon, and welcome to the Judiciary, the Labor and Commerce Committee. And if you will put yourself on the record, we're eager to hear your presentation this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Josh Appleby, staff to Representative Tom Anderson. I'm presenting for you today House Bill 123, which is a board extension bill. And what we've done with this bill is combine six boards into one bill. The Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, Social Work Examiners, Board of Pharmacy, Professional Counselors, the Board of, there's a long name, Psychology and Psychological Associates, and Veterinary Examiners. These are all good boards, Mr. Chairman, and we've extended them out to the recommendations of the Legislative Budget and the Legislative Audit Division. In addition to the extensions, we make a change allowing the Board of Psychology and Psychological Associates to adopt regulations that recognize other organizations that credential. Currently, the statute provides for licensing by credential through the American Board of Professional Psychology. In adopting regulations regarding licensing by credentials, the board must ensure that requirements are essentially similar or higher to the requirements for licensure under the chapter. With that, I know that we have representatives from Legislative Audit here to answer any specific questions about individual boards and their recommendations for their extension.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. We have a representative here from Audit. Pat, good to see you again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. And as indicated by Josh, the extension dates are the recommendations of the Audit Division. As you can see, they're staggered. They run between 4 and 6 years. Again, as I've previously discussed in front of this committee, what we're trying to do is level out the number of commissions and boards that are up for sunset in any given year. And therefore, we have taken into account how well they were doing, their fiscal status, and made recommendations from anywhere between 4 and 6 years.
Are there any particular discrepancies that you would need to note on the record other than what you've included in your report?
To the chairman, no.
Okay. Is there any objection to this bill? Does anybody want to oppose this bill? We'll close public testimony. Is there a will of the committee?
Move House 123 from today.
Is there objection? Hearing none, this bill is moved to the next committee. Short recess. Next bill is House Bill 169. Sponsors here, welcome Representative Roachberg, and we're eager to hear your presentation this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative Norman Roachberg. I represent Sand Lake Subdivision Edition Number 2. And here we have before you, Mr. Chairman, real estate bill that provides for post-licensing education of 20 hours after the individual takes the examination and receives his initial license. This is a very much a consumer protection bill. I'm pleased that it has the support of the industry, and we're looking forward to it assisting consumers in the state. The second provision, Mr. Chairman, expands the or ratifies the concept of hiring an attorney to review and supervise transactions. This is particularly helpful to large firms. Any questions? We do have here a representative of the Alaska Association of Realtors to give further testimony.
Thank you. Any questions for the sponsor? Thank you very much, Representative Rokeberg. Ms. Piccotti, if you would like to come up and or should I just call you Peggy Ann?
You can do either. Peggy Ann McConaughey, I'm representing the Alaska Association of Realtors. We thank you very much for hearing this today. This is an industry-sponsored bill, and we believe that post-licensing education, which is education that you will receive once you become a licensee, will go a long way to continue to help protect the public. Changes that you made last year within the licensing agency laws have been the start of what we consider to be a proactive move to make sure our industry helps to protect the buying, selling, renting, and leasing public. And I'll answer any questions if you have them.
Any questions? Seeing none, I have no other indications of anyone for public testimony. Do any of the members have a problem or concern with this bill? Will of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
House Bill 169 from the committee with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Is there any objection? Hearing none, this bill is passed out of committee, and short recess so we can get the paperwork caught up. Next on our agenda is House Bill 120. We have the sponsor, Representative Wilson, here. Welcome, Peggy, to the Labor and Commerce Committee, and we're eager to hear your presentation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is really a housekeeping bill. What it does is brings that Alaska statutes up to in line with federal statutes as far as bloodborne pathogens. And in 2000, the legislature passed our bill setting what we would have in statute for bloodborne pathogen rules. And the next year, the feds did it. Well, actually, when it happened in 2000, we had a legislator by the name of Bud Fate at the time that was a dentist, and so he just said, "Well, we're going to exempt dentists from this and their offices." And so they said, "We'll exempt any medical office that has 25 people or less in it." And what actually is happening is that's just keeping us from getting certain grants from the feds. So if we just now unexempt those two areas, then we will be in compliance with the federal rules, and we'll be able to get some of those grants. And right now, the impact of this legislation proposal is not expected to impact anyone, because what the bloodborne pathogen statutes do is try to keep patient and employees safe from hepatitis, AIDS, that type of thing, any kind of bloodborne pathogen. And so all of those offices, the dentist offices and all the medical offices, already now use very stringent precautions to make sure that they're careful, that they're protecting themselves and their patients. So this is not going to change anything that's already in process right now.
Okay, any questions?
Good.
Thank you very much, Representative Wilson. Let's see. Just going to take a very short at ease here for the aide to copy something. So we'll just take a short at ease. No further questions. We do have online Camille Solio, is it? Camille, is that your... Soleil.
Camille Soleil, yes, sir.
Yes, okay, I've got it. Camille, if you'll introduce yourself for the record, we'll also hear your testimony this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Camille Soleil. I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Nurses Association. The Alaska Nurses Association supports HB 120. Its clarification of expectations for compliance enables safe practice for our nurses and for their patients. In addition, if state laws comply with the federal regulations, state OSHA can then enforce OSHA standards, and any OSHA compliance challenges can be heard locally, which we believe will save businesses money in the long run. So we just want to go on record supporting this bill.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Mitchell, did you want to add something to the record?
Sure.
Welcome to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
Cool. Gray Mitchell, Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I am the director of the Labor Standards and Safety Division, which is the division that handles occupational safety and health issues. And this is one of the programs that we get some federal funding in Alaska to execute. And when the state created its occupational safety and health program back in the early 70s, we were following federal guidelines. Those federal guidelines require the state to have standards that are at least as effective as federal standards. And actually, there's a state statute that also says that, which was a part of the plan, you know, part of the deal in getting these funds was that we agreed to that. And this is just one of those areas where we've fallen out of step with federal standards, and so we're trying to correct it. Any questions?
Questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Mitchell. Closed public testimony on the bill. Is there any comment from the members or discussion by the members? Will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 120 from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there objection? Hearing none, this bill is moved to the next committee of referral. Thank you very much. Short recess. Our agenda will be House Bill 213. We see the staff for the sponsor is here. Welcome. If you'd like to put yourself on the record, we're eager to hear your presentation.
Good afternoon. My name is Jane Pearson, staff to Representative Jay Ramos. The alcohol server education course was instituted several years ago with the intent of reducing the number of impaired drivers on the road. The alcohol server education course has been a very successful program. Servers in the industry, both those that have chosen the industry full-time as a career and those who work to supplement their income, use the principles taught in this course every hour they work. However, every 3 years, competent servers, bartenders, doormen, have to spend 3 to 4 hours taking an alcohol server education course, which is quite frankly redundant. In the service industry, this can mean losing 3 to 4 hours of wages and gratuities. House Bill 213 will enable those who have been successfully working in the industry to renew their alcohol server education cards without retaking the full course, provided they pass the test. If a server fails the test, they will then have to be required to retake the course. This bill will allow those supporting their families as professional servers in the food and beverage industry to continue their work with less government interference. The bill will not affect the fee structure associated with the course, and that will be left up to those offering the course.
Okay, questions for the sponsors? Senator Davis.
Thank you. Does that mean that every time you have to renew your card, you'd have to take the test each time?
Senator Davis, through the chair, yes.
And where will the test be administered?
Senator Seekins, the test is administered by different agencies in different places throughout the state.
It's administered under a monitored situation where there is a test monitor?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Other questions? Have Karen Regina, Senator Huggins, I'm sorry.
Chair, for I see a paragraph that relates to rural premises and training of the personnel. Is that a major undertaking when we look at training people rurally? It talks about videos and surrogate kind of training techniques.
Senator Huggins, through the chair, there are times where the course is not efficiently offered in small rural communities, and therefore there are other ways to go about teaching the course. And I believe Doug Griffin should be online from the ABC board, and he can probably shed some more light on that.
He is on board if you'd like to ask that question, Senator Huggins.
His name is Doug.
Douglas Griffin.
Mr. Griffin, are you on with us this afternoon?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
If you'll introduce yourself, Senator Huggins would like to ask you a question.
I'll be be happy to do that. My name is Doug Griffin. I'm the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, speaking to you today.
Thank you.
From Anchorage.
Senator Huggins. Yeah, Mr. Griffin, Charlie Huggins here. Two questions for you. My number one concern is that this becomes, and I have zero experience, and this is a surprise we even do it, that it's one of those things where you get your license because somebody comes in and signs it, and we say that we have a course. Should I have any concern about that?
I don't believe so, Senator Huggins, through the chair. The role of the ABC board, just to briefly, is to approve the courses, and we do have several vendors that offer approved alcohol server training. They have to, they're basically nationwide packages that are customized to reflect the rules and laws of the state of Alaska. We're satisfied that they are appropriately taught, even though that this area is evolving with the use of computer-generated instruction and testing, and even over the internet, and that's some of those are approved for more rural locations. So we think that the quality of the instruction is up to par.
Okay, my second question for you is to do with rural areas in the respect that when training is to happen in a rural area and the surrogate information testing, do we have any difficulties with that? Is it recurring or is that misplaced concern on my part?
Senator Huggins, to the chair, I think it's valid for you to be to have an interest and curiosity about that. To our knowledge, that is being done appropriately by the different vendors to be able to offer this out in places where it's not economical to send an instructor on a regular basis as regularly as needed. And again, the board, if I this is a little bit off your question, but just maybe it can provide a fuller explanation. The board is looking at the new technology. A lot of the training in this area and other types of training are sort of done testing and education at the same time. They cover a module, and then they test you on that module, and you have to pass it before you can move on to the next module. And that type of testing is being introduced in this area and seems to be very effective. And the board is going to have to tweak our regulations to allow that, but we have had some preliminary discussions, and it is my opinion that within a year the board will have liberalized the ability to be able to use that technology, which I think you could argue is maybe even better than classroom instruction in some cases. So we're going to probably have a variety of ways to impart this information to alcohol servers.
Good. Thank you very much.
Other questions for Mr. Griffin? Thank you very much, Mr. Griffin. If you'll stand by, we may have further questions. We have Karen Rogina online. Karen, are you there?
Hello. My name is Karen Rogina. I'm CEO of the Alaska Hospitality Alliance, representing over 300 hotels, restaurants, destination nightclubs, and industry suppliers across Alaska. Thank you for hearing my testimony today. On behalf of Alaska's hospitality industry, I would like to convey support of HB 213. As we've heard in previous testimony, this bill improves alcohol server training in Alaska by making it faster and easier for experienced servers to be in compliance with the law. Effectively, this bill allows someone who is already trained and certified in alcohol server training in accordance with the state of Alaska's provisions in Title IV to renew their certification by taking a test rather than sitting through another four-hour class. It's important to note that the cost of the class and the time required to take the class is often paid by the server, not the employer, and is done on the server's own time. Passing a written test accomplishes the spirit of what was intended by ensuring the server is experienced in techniques of alcohol serving and guest management, and it makes compliance more accessible, as it is easier to make a test available to a server than it is to bring an instructor or otherwise make a four-hour class available to rural areas. So we respectfully ask that you pass this bill out of committee today, and thank you again for hearing my testimony.
Other questions for Ms. Regina? Hearing none, thank you. Next is Tammy Kilborn. Tammy, are you there?
Hi, this is Tammy Kilborn.
If you'll go ahead with your testimony, we're going to hear it this afternoon.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for listening to my testimony. I'm backing the House Bill 213 as a professional bartender in Fairbanks. I've been in the business for several years and have taken several TAMS classes. And as I don't find it unreasonable to recommend, you know, that if the test needs to be taken so that you're reminded of your duties, your observation of serving minors and keeping the alcohol laws in check, and at the same time keeping everybody on the same page of the new laws that have came and gone. But the four-hour test of, like they say, is takes several hours of time and money, and most people do take the time off of work to go to the class. So I would like to support this bill today on behalf of the bartenders in Fairbanks.
Any questions for Ms. Kilborn? Seeing none, thank you for your time this afternoon. We'll move next to Paul Thomas. Mr. Thomas, are you still online with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
If you'll introduce yourself to the committee, we're eager to hear your testimony this afternoon.
My name's Paul Thomas. I'm from Alaska Cash Liquor, a retail liquor store in Juneau, and the Triangle Club Bar, so sort of both sides of the industry here. And I'd like to support this HB 213. I feel that it would actually lead to advanced training levels from our workers, because the people that would be there and have access to the instructors would all be more at the same level than the general class, and would be able to answer and ask more specific questions that would actually advance our training some. The only concern I would have was be keeping the revenue up to further this education, and we wouldn't be opposed to even seeing the same fees charged for both types of classes. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Thomas? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify on this bill today? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Discussion among the members. Will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 213 Fund Committee with individual recommendations and attached physical notes.
Is there objection? Hearing none, this bill is moved to the next committee. Short recess. Back on the record, we're next going to move to House Bill 181. And staff for the sponsors here, welcome, Karen. And if you'll put yourself on the record for us, we're eager to hear your presentation today.
All right, thank you. For the record, my name is Karen Lidster, and I am staff of Representative John Coghill. And the bill before you is for continuing education waiver for members of the armed forces. And this legislation is being introduced to eliminate the possibility of a professional licensee losing his or her license because of failure to fulfill statutory requirements for continuing education while serving on active duty. Initially, when this bill was first drafted, we were looking at members of the military that would be in perhaps a combat zone. When it started its committee process through the House, we realized that our troops are actually being deployed in many many faraway places where continuing education just would not be available. And so it deals strictly with the fact that if they are on active duty, the boards or commission may waive the continuing education requirement and then establish that time that they would have, which is when they got back stateside, and would make that make up those requirements that they have to be able to hold on to their license. But in the meantime, they aren't penalized and lose their license. A zero fiscal note, and pretty simple.
Questions for Ms. Lidster? I have a whole list of them here if you've got a little time. Yeah. We don't have anyone asking for public testimony on this bill. We're just going to go recess for a little while here. We're in recess. We have now closed public testimony on House Bill 181, and we're open for discussion by the members. Seeing none, what is the will of the committee?
Look, Mr. Huggins moved this one.
Senator Huggins.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I move that House Bill number
181.
Sorry, excuse me, I'm messing up. 181, sent all in the same category here, my same folder. Sorry about that. Let me make sure I know what I'm doing in the military. Yes, I saw this previously. Mr. Chair, I move the committee substitute for House Bill 181 with individual comments and attached physical note be moved.
Is there objection? Hearing none, this bill's moved on to the next committee of referral. Now,
thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lister. We have completed our daily calendar. Please check hearing announcements daily for announcements of our next meeting. And I do believe we may meet again. Just in case we don't meet again, I want to thank everybody for their attendance and their hard work on the committee, especially since Senator Bundy has not been able to be here. And I think all the people from Records who coordinate, and the LIOs, the off-nets to facilitate our public process here, and everybody in the Senate Secretary's office who process all our work into reports for the floor. And I think we may have one or two more bills before we're done, but I'm not certain at this point. So at 2:20 p.m., we are adjourned.